Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state. And she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. We ended the last program with the idea that you do not want to count pennies, and the way to do that is to follow the steps in All Your Worth. The steps are designed to keep you focused on the important things. Your time is precious, and you will not be asked to waste it chasing after pennies. The purpose is to help you to stay focused on the dollars. Just stick with this and don't wander off in double coupon land. Once you've completed all the steps in All Your Worth, if you still want to go after the $3 rebate, go right ahead. But if you'd rather go spend $3 on a triple fudge ice cream cone, no one's going to tell your grandmother. You will have made a lot of smart choices after budgeting your time and your money, and you'll really deserve a reward. You have to break free from the traps. If you have been listening, you're probably feeling a bit invigorated, ready to shake off the negative thinking traps we've been talking about that stand between you and success. But there is a chance that today's enthusiasm may be lost to tomorrow's doubts. So now's the time to get ready and to develop a plan of action in case those traps reappear. If you feel the tug of a negative thinking trap, follow three steps. First, identify the trap. Traps have the most power when they are hidden. If you find yourself feeling discouraged, or if you feel like you are just not making the progress you should, look for the trap. When you keep promising yourself that you'll take care of the insurance, but it just never happens, look for the trap. When you pull out the papers, but you don't seem to get anything accomplished, look for the trap. Once you identify the trap, it will immediately lose much of its power. And when the trap loses its power, finding your way out of it becomes much easier. If you find yourself glancing at the enrollment forms for your retirement account and thinking, "My kids will probably take care of me, so I don't really need to save for retirement," that's the time to stop and ask yourself, have you just fallen into a trap? Are you waiting for the financial Easter bunny? The trap will lose a lot of its bite just from exposure. Finger pointing, all or nothing, thinking, waiting for the money bunny. Call it out. And just as a reminder, those are the traps: finger pointing, all or nothing thinking, or waiting for the money bunny. Whatever you are thinking, whatever it is that keeps you from changing, flip on the lights and give those thoughts a name. Again, first point is identify the trap. The second point is to remember your goals. You are clear about your goals. You want to get straight with your money to stop the worry and get on the path to a richer life. If you find yourself getting hung up with your old negative thinking traps, ask yourself, are these thoughts helping? Are your fantasies making your future brighter? Does telling yourself that you are not smart enough make you any better off? Is your all-or-nothing perfectionism really getting you closer to your goal? Is obsessing over discount toothpaste really make you richer? If the answer is no, then you have a rock-solid reason to banish them from your head. So remembering the goals means basically use the goal and the thinking traps exposure to get back on the path. Now the third point is put up a fight. Now comes the time to argue. When you've identified the negative thinking trap, argue with it. Point by point, tell yourself why your thinking trap isn't right. Fight with yourself. Call out the negative thinking trap. Say its name and then identify the effects it has on you. Tell yourself out loud how this trap is keeping you from acting. Then pop it right in the teeth. Tell the truth. You are capable. You are committed. You're going to take hold of your present and plan your future. If you remember in the last program, Lucy, the camera woman who asked for help, said that talking out loud to herself helped her tackle her credit card debt. She would say, "Okay, Lucy, you can hold a 75-pound camera steady in the middle of a hurricane. You know how to change the spark plugs in a Chevy. You can say the names of the presidents in order. Anyone smart enough to do that is smart enough to take on money." Lucy said that she was doing great until one day the guy she shared an office with came in without her noticing. "I had just announced in this really loud voice, 'Damn it, I can hang wallpaper.' Richie goes, 'I didn't know you want wallpaper in here. Don't get mad. I'll pay half.'" Well, take a moment right now to write down the negative thinking traps you fall into. Next to each trap, write down your rebuttal. Now we'll go over some of the most common traps to help you get started. Basically, the format here is if you fall into this trap, tell yourself. And this is kind of an exercise to fight your negative thinking traps. So the first, if you fall into the trap, money is too hard, I just can't do it, tell yourself, I'm smart enough to run a house or earn a paycheck, so I'm smart enough to manage money wisely. If you fall into the trap, it's somebody else's fault that I'm in financial trouble, well, tell yourself, I will do everything in my power to make my financial future as good as it can be. Another trap, I have a million financial things to take care of. I'll never get it all done. So you tell yourself, I'll focus on the most important things and let the little stuff go. Another one is, everything will get better when blank happens to me. With that, you tell yourself, everything will get better when I take action. And then the perfectionist trap, I'll never get to 50-30-20, so why bother trying? And your response is, I may not be perfect, but I can make things better. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, you really should have a general idea of the traps and how to deal with them. So what you need to do is write down your own traps, your own negative traps, and then a rebuttal to each one of those. So you should write the trap down, put the rebuttal, and do as many as you can. Don't hold yourself back. You can be the most effective, most energetic fighter on your own behalf. You just have to do it. And you have to make the commitment. Are you ready for change? Not just a little interested, but really committed? Are you ready to believe you can swim to the other end of the pool? Do you know that you can arm wrestle with your checkbook and win? Because that's what this step is all about. It's time to get rid of the negative thinking traps and the excuses for staying put so that you are really, truly ready to make the most of this opportunity. What will it take to change? You won't have to perform any magic tricks, and there won't be any Mission Impossible assignments. You just have to commit to do your honest-to-goodness best. If you are ready to get serious, then write it down. You signed a contract for your cell phone 2 or 3 long years. You signed for the car 4 to 6 years. Those are long contracts. You signed for credit cards, gym membership, and many other things. You make deals all the time, so now make a deal for yourself. Here are some terms for your contract. Put a check mark next to each statement you are ready to commit to. And if the spirit moves you, add some more that are very special to your circumstances. And when you're finished, sign your name at the bottom. This is one of the most important commitments you may ever make, so take it seriously. And it would be good if you had a pen and some paper to write these down. You can call it your contract with your future. Now I'm going to give you 8 points, and you're going to check all that apply. 1, I am ready to commit the time to shop for a better deal on the things I need. And I'll repeat each of these. I am ready to commit the time to shop for a better deal on the things I need. 2, I'm willing to take steps to make sure that I will never be a victim of any person or company that wants to rip me off. Once again, I am willing to take steps to make sure that I will never be a victim of any person or company that wants to rip me off. The third point is, I am willing to forgive myself and others, my spouse, my ex, my parents, for past financial mistakes, and to work from this point forward to make my future secure. So 3 again is, I am willing to forgive myself and others for past financial mistakes and to work from this point forward to make my future secure. The 4th point is, I am willing to make my financial well-being a top priority in my life. Once again, I am willing to make my financial well-being a top priority in my life. The 5th point is, I am willing to talk straight about money and not fool myself into believing things that I know in my heart are untrue. Once again, I am willing to talk straight about money and not fool myself into believing things that I know in my heart are untrue. The 6th point, I will be alert to any negative thinking traps and I will work to root them out. Once again, I will be alert to any negative thinking traps and I will work to root them out. I know that I must take responsibility for my financial future and I am committed to making permanent changes. Once again, I know that I must take responsibility for my financial future and I am committed to making permanent changes. And 8, the last point, I will do my best to follow the steps in all you're worth. 8 again, I will do my best to follow the steps in all you're worth. So you check all that apply of these 8 points, and as I said at the beginning, you sign and date it. So, are you ready to sign up? Is your commitment real? If you checked off most of these statements and you committed yourself to follow through, then you are on the road to healthy change. You're willing to work hard, and you are committed to creating a better future. Congratulations. Now keep it up. If you found yourself skipping past many of the statements or shaking your head no, then you aren't committing to change. If you don't want to sign and date this, you may still be sitting on the fence. Maybe you're stuck in one of the negative thinking traps, telling yourself that things will work out somehow, or that if you can't be perfect, there's no point in trying hard. Or maybe it just seems more comfortable not to change. If you're still sitting on the fence, ask yourself, can you commit to do more? In this world where nothing is certain, there is only one thing we can absolutely promise. Tomorrow will come. We want you to get ready for it. We want you to have the best possible chance for a good tomorrow. Make the commitment for yourself and for your future. As we continue with the All Your Worth system, you will go through the step-by-step process to get your money in balance. Some of the steps may come easily and some may be harder. Whenever you hit a roadblock, go back to your contract. Remind yourself of what you committed to do when you signed it. Keep asking yourself, what can I do to get over this hurdle? What can I do to make things better? The goal here is to make your money and your life the best it can be. So get out there and take a step toward a better future. Now we're going to move ahead into some details, which Professor Warren and Amelia call count the dollars, not the pennies. Clip coupons. Get the generic cereal. Buy your pasta in bulk. Take a brown bag lunch. Watch out for the lattes. Everywhere you go, the same old advice. Watch your pennies. Well, it's time to stop counting pennies, or at least to put it on hold for a while. Why? Is it bad to save a bit here and there? Of course not, but if you are like most people, you have only so many minutes you can devote to worrying about your money. And we want you to spend those precious minutes where they count the most, your dollars. Instead of spending your time on how to squeeze a few nickels out of a small purchase, it's time to focus on the really big expenses, where an hour on the phone can save you thousands of dollars. This step starts with an incredibly simple premise. Dollars are worth more than pennies. Of course, this isn't exactly breaking news, but stop and think about it. When you add up all the time you spend making decisions about how to spend your money, what gets the most time? If you're thinking like most people, you spend hours every month thinking about the prices of the little stuff. A pair of shoes, a pound of tomatoes, a bottle of wine. You look at the price tag, you comparison shop, you weigh your options, think twice before you buy. Now, think about the big ticket items, your home or apartment, your car, your insurance. Sure, you probably thought hard about those purchases once, but when was the last time you thought about them? You probably just write those checks month in and month out without thinking about whether you're getting the most for your dollars. If you are overspending on these big monthly bills, then money is draining out of your pockets a lot faster than you can replace it by getting double coupons on your frozen vegetables. This step, the foundational step for getting straight with your money, will help you get your big must-have purchases into balance. The monthly must-haves are the very heart of your money plan. The must-haves claim more money than anything else you buy. They keep your life dignified and secure. The must-haves are the first, last, and most important purchases around which all other money decisions are arranged. Balancing your must-haves will create the bedrock upon which you can build your entire money plan for the rest of your life. And I'll come back with this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, with all of that, you come often to the point where you say, but I need this stuff. It seems so sensible, prudent, maybe even a little conservative. You spend your money on the things you need. Who could fault you for that? No one goes on television or writes a book that criticizes people for spending too much on the basics. Oh, sure, someone may chide people for buying an oversized McMansion or a brand new Lexus, but the real point is that those things are more than anyone really needs. Fancy, oversized, expensive stuff that normal people could easily do without. Who says you shouldn't spend all your money on a normal house and a normal car? Well, all you're worth does. It doesn't matter if you are living in a regular house. It doesn't matter if you are driving an average car. It doesn't matter if all of your must-haves seem perfectly ordinary and no different from those of your neighbors, because you can't use your neighbors as a guide. Why not? Because most of your neighbors are not building wealth. They probably owe money on their credit cards and they don't have any plans for a better future. They may not talk about it, but the odds are high that they worry about money. A lot. In recent years, worry over money has become normal. Living out of balance has become normal. Surveys show that fighting over money with the people you love has become normal. Which all adds up to one very important point. Normal isn't good enough. If you want to build real wealth and make the most of your worth, then you need to have a plan that is better than normal. And that starts with getting your must-haves in balance. So even if this seems hard or strange or just not normal, you have to tackle your must-haves head-on. Imagine for a moment what it will be like to get your must-haves into balance. Think of this as like that little mental vacation you take when you imagine what you would look like if you lost 10 pounds or how it would feel to cook a dinner in a remodeled kitchen. Take a short money vacation. Imagine what it would feel like to have plenty of money in the bank. Picture yourself shopping for clothes or taking a little weekend trip. Does it seem easier, more relaxed, maybe even a little more fun? Now pull up a second vision. Imagine how much safer you would feel if you knew you could miss a few months of work and you'd be able to cover the rent or the mortgage. Now try one more thought. Imagine yourself socking away some money month after month. Think about a nicer house, travel, college for the kids. Think about your dreams. Think about getting closer to them each day. Sounds good, doesn't it? Keep that feeling in the front of your mind as you pull your must-have expenses into balance, because that's what you can turn into reality. So this step requires some real effort, but there is some really good news too. Once you get this right, you won't have to do it again for a long, long time. Your monthly must-haves are recurrent payments. Payments that stay roughly the same, month in and month out, and even year in and year out. So once you get them straight, they stay straight, which means you can put them on the back burner where they belong and quit worrying. Even better, your savings from getting the must-haves into balance will come back to you month after month. That extra money will be yours, automatically. That means there will be more money for fun and more money for your future, and less time spent worrying about money so you can focus on what really matters, the rest of your life. So roll up your sleeves, get out your pencil, and get ready to go. It's time to save some dollars. So first, we set the goal. Getting your must-haves aligned is about balance, not too much and not too little. We had already gone over this in step one, which showed you what the right balance is for most people. spending about 50% of your take-home pay on must-haves, so you have 30% for wants and 20% for savings. What you're going to do now is actually calculate your must-haves target. From what we did before, put down your monthly after-tax income and multiply by 50%. That becomes your must-have target. This is not hard. What it does is shows you your ideal spending amount for your monthly must-haves. Now compare this number with your current monthly must-have expenditures, which we did before, to find out how much you need to save. If your current must-haves are less than your target, this means you are spending less than 50% of your income on must-haves. You don't need to make any cuts in your monthly must-haves, and we'll come back to what you need a little later. But now we're going to look at part two, the savings target. Once again, we're going to start with your actual current must-have expenses, which we figured out in the past. So that's a dollar amount. And we're going to minus your monthly must-have target that we just figured out. This is the total cuts goal, which is a dollar amount. This is what you're working toward, the total cuts you want to find. Keep the number in front of you because it is your goal. This is the amount of money you want to squeeze from your must-have expenses so you can get your monthly spending into balance. Every time you make a cut in your must-have expenses, put it toward that goal. Does your goal seem like a big number? Stick with it. All Your Worth will help you get there step by step. And if you ultimately decide that you want to stay a little heavy on the must-have expenses for a while, there are steps you need to take to protect yourself. And we will go into those in future programs. But what if you are spending already less than 50% of your income on must-haves? Well, you should be congratulated. Your must-haves are in balance with your income, so you have one less thing to worry about. Even so, go ahead and follow what we will talk about as the easy stuff cut. This focuses on places to save money without cramping your style. After all, there's no reason to keep putting money in someone else's pocket if you can keep it for yourself. When you're cutting back on expenses, start in the easiest places, the spots where you can make cuts that you will never feel. The price comparisons may take a little time, but the results are the best. All gain, no pain. Your day-to-day living will feel the same, but you can keep more of your money. And we'll get started on lowering your insurance costs as the first point. Yes, for most of us, insurance sounds boring. We don't know any little kids who zoom around the living room pretending to be insurance reps, right? And shopping for insurance sounds like about as much fun as cleaning the gutters in a rainstorm. Even so, saving money sounds good, right? And talk about a place where the savings is easy. A couple of phone calls and you can save month in and month out for years. The big secret of insurance is that most people are paying too much, way too much. The companies just keep pocketing the profits. Homeowners insurance, life insurance, car insurance, you name it, most people just overpay. If you haven't shopped in the last 2 years, you're probably paying too much. If you only got one quote before you signed up, you probably pay too much. If your real estate agent arranged for the insurance when you bought the house, you probably pay too much. And if you have a deductible less than $500, you probably pay too much. And we will continue analyzing this in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt-manageable life.